All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Saturday morning, Brilliant Ideas Radio Show. And as the tagline says, a tasty recipe for food, fun, and laughter. Or, in our case, sometimes it's tasteless. Welcome to another Saturday morning where we play around with foodie people. We have fun. We laugh. We play music. And we do whatever we want to do. And without further ado, my sidekick, Laurie. Laurie, the food news Jersey style girl, and I'm having problems already this morning. So, Laurie, I know you're there, but Blog Talk Radio is not letting me bring you on. So this is going to be fun. I can tell already. Okay, here we go. Here's our Laurie. Radio. Good morning, Laurie.
Good morning. Of course, I always want to look good for you. I said to Idrima Jeannie today, you know how she wears pink, her little outfit's pink?
Yes.
Well, it's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, my love, and everyone out there. And I'm wearing pink because I don't like myself in red. So I look like Idrima Jeannie today.
Okay.
Forget it.
Thanks for sharing that. And of course, we can't forget my other sidekick, the only guy that also puts on makeup, fixes his hair, and puts on high heels.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loved me till the end. People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a one.
Yes, he's a one boy cuddly toy. It's Brian Bizarre Man.
Well, you know, if you hadn't said it, I would have admitted to putting on the makeup and the high heels anyway.
Yeah, I know.
So,
well.
Happy Valentine's Day to the two of you and to everybody out there.
Same to you. And my goodness, those strawberries, you are so talented.
Well,
I wanted to do something special.
I wanted to do something special for the two of you. You know, Grill always gets up my butt about, you know, that I'm not the bacon god that he is, but I did something for you guys. So.
Oh, my goodness.
You got to admit.
It's almost, they're
admit.
Too pretty to eat.
I have a question, Brian. First of all, I do not get up your butt, so don't even start going there. But let me ask you, did you actually take bacon and wrap it around the strawberries?
you know, you made comments, you hit the like on my picture. Did you actually look at the picture?
No.
All right, okay, here's how this happened. And actually, I got to give a little credit to my bro, Aaron, because we brainstormed on this. I wanted to do bacon-wrapped strawberries. And I was going to bacon-wrap the strawberry and then dip it in chocolate. I was trying to figure out how can I make the bacon crisp without the strawberry just disintegrating, you know,
right,
in the cooking process. So he and I were brainstorming, and then we decided, well, I'm going to render down the bacon first, crumble it, dip the strawberries, and then roll them in the bacon crumbles.
Oh.
So basically, you've got bacon-wrapped strawberries, but it's not, you know, a slice of bacon. It's bacon crumbles.
Well,
nice and crunchy on the outside and, you know, and sweet and soft on the inside.
You know, all of us people, well, not me, but lots of people in the foodie world take photographs of their creations and share them on Facebook, and which I always think is crazy because everybody says, oh, give me some. Oh, this looks so yummy. Oh, I'm going to eat the whole plate. I don't know how you're going to do that. But anyway, were they good?
Well, the bacon ones are going to be consumed tonight, but I had one last night that I made with some fleur de sel. My wife had one of the coconut ones, and we ate quite a few of them last night, but I'm saving the bacon for tonight.
Since you think that bacon is
so romantic, I figured, well, I might as well save the bacon for tonight.
Aww.
Well, there you go. Anyway, they looked very nice, and I hope you enjoyed them. It just cracks me up. I'm getting on this sideline here, but when people get on Facebook and they talk about, I'm stealing every one of those. Oh, these are so yummy. Oh, boy. Anyway.
No, I like the ones that say, I'm licking my screen or my cell phone.
Did you hear Lori go, ah, because she's one
yes.
of those that does that.
Yes, it's imaginary. We were not real until we finally met, right? Weren't we imaginary?
Well, that's true.
You think about it?
Yes.
And actually,
yes.
Some people wonder if I'm still even real. So, yeah, I guess that's true, Lori.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've met Brilliant, but I still think he's imaginary.
Yes, a legend in my own mind. Let's talk about who's going to be on the show. First of all, I think this guy's calling in. He and I have been playing phone tag and whatever you call it, message tag all week long. But he's on the lineup, and I think he's going to be calling in from Pork Barrel Barbecue. And you guys probably know Pork Barrel Barbecue. They were on the Shark Tank show, and they've got a new project they're working on. It's bacon jerky. And, of course, when you say bacon, you got to be on our show. So we'll be talking about bacon jerky and their Kickstarter program for bacon jerky. Our second guest is a man from down under. Our buddy Andrew Thompson is going to be calling in, and he's going to be talking about food safety and wine. And I have a question about that. Can you be safe and drink wine at the same time? I doubt it.
I have a question for him.
Well, I hope you have a lot of questions for him. Okay, and our last guest is our musical guest. And last week, the Lonesome Heroes were supposed to be on, and I don't know what happened. Their Mickey Mouse clock was all screwed up. They called in an hour early, so I believe they know what time they're supposed to call in this morning, and they'll be calling in the Lonesome Heroes, and I have to have them on because we're going to be talking about tofu barbecue. This I can't wait to talk about. Last time they were on the show, he and I got into, I won't call it an argument, but a discussion about tofu. And anyway, he's got a tofu barbecue recipe he wants to share with everyone, so this should be interesting. So that's our lineup. And let's see here. We've got about 10 minutes, I think, before our first guest supposedly is going to call in. So, Lori, since you are the food news girl, do you have any food news for us?
I have some very interesting food news. As a matter of fact, I found some facts about food, and it's from the editors of naturalnews.com. Actually, I'm not even sure. I think I think I should be giving Sun West credit because I think she sent this to me a while back. But anyway, the common bread ingredient, L-cysteine, is actually derived from human hair. Can you imagine this?
I'm sure we've all eaten hair in our day.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I was having a coughing attack. What did you say?
Okay, the common bread ingredient is L-cysteine, and it's derived from human hair. The hair is dissolved in acid and other sources of L-cysteine, which include chicken feathers and duck feathers. Muslims are forbidden from eating anything derived from a human body, and many rabbis forbid hair consumption for similar reasons.
And you say it's
bread?
Yeah. The common bread ingredient.
Is this the stuff that makes the bread elastic that, you know, we've been wanting in the bread?
Well, that's a good question.
Maybe.
I don't know. And you're right about the Subway, though. The bread does fall apart. And my family has been complaining about it. The hot dog, they've been buying the hot dog rolls, and they've been saying that they fall apart, too. So people are complaining about it.
Well, I don't know when we'll have the time, maybe at the end of the show, but I have another dark side experience with bread that I'll share.
Please do tell real quick. Go ahead. I want to hear it.
Okay. So I went to Wendy's the other day, and I ordered the pretzel bacon cheeseburger. I opened up the package, and it was just like completely, the whole cardboard box thing was completely filled with grease. I guess that made the bread moist, but I actually went back, spoke to a manager. She then in turn went and reprimanded her entire staff, telling them that it was unacceptable to put food out like that. And I'm like thinking, maybe it's supposed to be this way and she's just putting on a show for me. But it was
she knew you were the
mess.
Wine czar.
Yeah, she knew.
Yeah. No, I'm the dark side food critic.
True.
But actually, to their credit, they made good. She brought me a fresh burger and a fresh thing of fries. The bun was completely dry, no grease, oil, butter, or whatever it had. I think, because I looked on their website, and it said that that it's served with a warm, pretzel bun. So I wonder if they put that on the grill to warm it up, and it just sucked up all the grease
from the
grill.
Yeah. But they make good on it, so that's very nice.
You go there quite often, and they see you coming. I mean, you have more problems at Wendy's than anybody in the whole United States of America. And I think they see you coming, and they say, hey, there's that guy again. Let's screw around with him today.
Yeah.
Let's pour grease all over his pretzel bun.
My picture is posted in every Wendy's.
You what? You got cut off when you said that. You're what?
I said my
picture
is posted in every Wendy's.
Oh, your picture. Like the post office.
All right.
Hey, but I said they made good, and they made me. And actually, I liked the burger. Once it wasn't greasy.
You're talking about it.
I liked the burger. So, kudos to Wendy's.
I'm bored. Okay, Laura, you got another story? Because that human hair bread story was just riveting.
Oh, stop! Did you know that chicken McNuggets contain an industrial chemical?
Hair.
Haven't
no,
we talked about
the...
this already?
I'm not going to describe what it is. These are just little tidbits. And did you know that chicken McNuggets contain an industrial chemical?
You're not going to tell us what it is? Is it
no, I have no idea what it is.
WD-40 or what?
It didn't say. I didn't even Google it. I just wrote down and copied what they wrote for interesting food facts.
And where did you get this information from?
This was, I told you in the beginning, thenaturalnews.com.
Yeah, I don't believe anything they say
You can't dangle a McNugget out on a stick and tell you something about it, but without facts.
I know.
Well,
no.
Google it.
I mean, these people have already told us there's hair in our bread, and now they're going to tell us that WD-40 is in our chicken McNuggets. What other thing do they like to share?
Well, when you
Not
think
that we
of
didn't
Italian
know that already.
Food, right? When you think of Italian food, one of the first things that probably comes to mind is what? What do you think of with Italian food?
Spaghetti, pizza.
No. Brian.
Tomato sauce.
What do you think of? There you go. Tomato sauce.
Garlic.
Garlic.
No, tomato sauce. You're right. So, and Thai peanut sauce is recognized around the world, as is the spiciness of Indian food, which comes from chili peppers. Yet, when Columbus set forth westward from Europe, none of these things would have been part of the recipe. Tomatoes were originally domesticated in Peru, and they spread from there to Mexico. They were also domesticated in the Amazon, which chili peppers appear to have been domesticated separately in both South and Central America. Okay.
So what are you?
Okay.
So you're telling us that really Italian food is not. Yeah, I guess Italian food is not Italian food.
Yep, and Thai peanuts is not Thai.
Oh, this is the night. It's a beautiful night.
That was actually a good song for Italian food and also for
hey,
Valentine's
Day. Hey, wait a second.
Day.
That was
Valentine's
a setup.
Day.
You were ready for that one.
Yes, I was.
I never talked about it. How would he have done that? He did not know. He doesn't even know about this stuff. He wants to always be surprised. He doesn't let me talk about it. If I read
well,
something,
see,
like, oh, my gosh,
true.
Can I tell you about this? He says no.
That's true. He doesn't
Believe
know
it or
about
not,
anything.
People,
so.
I'm not ever prepared for the show. Can you tell?
He's not. He's not. It's the weird. He doesn't. He wants to be. He's very spontaneous, and he doesn't want to. He just wants to be. He likes it off the cuff, and.
But that's what makes the show, good.
Oh yeah, oh definitely.
I mean,
because I'm a reader.
We
I
all have
like
to
that.
React to this stuff. What do I call
I
you? Like
prepared.
You know, a half an hour before the show, and say, okay, what are you reading? I need to research it. So
hey,
I can be prepared.
Hey, now our guest is supposed to be calling in 3 minutes, so give us a 3-minute story, Laurie.
Do this. You know I hate when you do this, because now I got to think about it. It's too short.
That's why I do it.
Okay.
How about a 3-minute egg? Hey, we have to talk about the whole egg thing and the butter thing.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that.
What?
Forget it, Laurie. We don't need a 3-minute story. Thank
okay,
you very much. Thank you, and thank you for all. Yes, thank you. I have been right all along. I have been saying, what have I been saying, Brian, that the eggs are good for you and butter is good for you, and I've been saying that for years, and now there is scientific fact. In fact, there was no scientific facts that said that they made all these claims that butter is bad for you. They made all these claims that cholesterol and eggs were bad for you, and it turns out that was all based on bad science. So there you go.
Well, I mean, look, I would rather eat butter that's natural than eat what they claim is better for you that has chemicals in it.
Right.
I mean, what choice would you make?
Well, of course, butter. But my point is all these people got on the bandwagon and were talking about how bad it was for you. And anyway...
You know,
I get sick
look,
and tired.
I don't eat a dozen eggs a week, but, you know,
bad.
I've never stopped.
I'm looking for that story about bacon where it says bacon is a miracle healer. When that comes out, I think I can hang up. I'll just stop doing the show. But then I'll say, there you go.
There'll have nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, there will be nothing ever for us to talk about again.
No.
GIR
yeah. Anyway,
is
you...
off the air. We found the miracle cure.
That's right. And by the way, people, if you don't know what we're talking about, go to my Facebook page. There was 2 articles I posted this week about butter and about cholesterol and about eggs. And as I've been saying for a long time, there's nothing wrong with if you eat those things, great, keep eating them, because there's no science backing it up. And it was all based on basically political is why it was done years ago. So there. Enough said. All right, Laurie, guess what? Our guest hasn't called in. Do you have a 3-minute story?
Let me see. Yes, I do.
Now
yes,
we need
okay.
a three-minute story.
Yeah, now we need a three-minute story.
Tick, 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 tock. Okay, the seed inside a peach contains an almond-like nut, which holds a potent anti-cancer medicine called Latreille. Peaches, nectarines, plums, apricots, and almonds are all closely related fruit trees with very similar pits. And in all these fruits, the pit must be broken open to reveal the almond-shaped kernel within. In fact, this is what almonds actually are. They're the kernel within the pit of the fruit of the almond tree. The kernel of all these species contain high concentrations of a chemical known as latreille or vitamin B17. Research has suggested that the latreille induces cell death in the cancer cells while leaving healthy cells alone.
Okay, but isn't it only almonds that you can consume? If they harvest this miracle cure for cancer from any other fruit pit, my
Some
understanding is that those are poisonous.
Me too, but I don't. There's certain ones. I forget which one is the poison. I don't think it's in the apricot or the peaches. Maybe it's not
peach.
In those.
I think it's the peach.
I thought it was all of those. The inner kernel of the pit of the fruit.
They're just saying maybe that you know there's a chemical in there that they. I mean, they're not telling us to start eating all these pits.
By the way,
is this the same source as the people that told you about the hair
yeah.
in the bread, and they won't tell you
be.
How or why?
Sorry.
I mean, come on, facts. Give us facts.
Sorry. By the way, people, do not believe anything you hear on Gray and Ideas Radio, because we have no clue
Especially
what we're
from
talking
me.
About. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. I think our guest is calling in, and we're going to be talking about bacon jerky. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you guys probably know these folks from Facebook. You probably saw them on Shark Tank. The company's called Pork Barrel Barbecue. And since we'll be talking barbecue, I think I should probably play a barbecue song. So everyone hang tight. We'll be right back with our first guest. Don't go away.
And that cold big red barbecue makes no one too young. a charcoal pit, and a goodbye down below. And a good place to eat, get some barbecue.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yes, it is the ultimate cooking experience. Get yourself a Big Green Egg at www.biggreenegg.com. And we are back. And are you happy with me now, Brian?
I'm never happy with you. Why would you ask that kind of question?
Well, because you said don't forget to play the Big Green Egg commercial, so I did. So there you go. All right, our first guest. Speaking of barbecue, Pork Barrel Barbecue. If you guys have never heard of them before, you live in a cave. But Pork Barrel Barbecue was on Shark Tank, and we have someone calling in from Pork Barrel Barbecue. And honestly, I don't even know who's calling in. So good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. It's Heath with Pork Barrel.
Hey.
Good
welcome
morning
to the show. I forgot to ask you who you were when I was setting everything up.
That's okay. Yeah, we're here in D.C., so we like to keep a low profile with the NSA, you know, on top of us all the time.
Well, I have to ask you, first thing out of the gates here, are you the guy that looks like the pig mascot, or are you the other guy?
I am the one that Barbara Corcoran on the show said looked like our mascot, yes.
Oh, you're so cute.
Thank you. Well, I'll tell you a funny story.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
When we were after we filmed that, and you know, Brett said, you know, if he had been called that, he would have probably lost it on stage. And I, you know, I just took it as it came. And we were leaving the set, and this really cute girl who worked on the show came up to me and said, "I think pigs are cute." And so I was like, "All right, it's okay." So. So Barbara has since written a book with a chapter in there on me looking like a pig.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's her favorite thing. Favorite thing to talk about. I think it's her top moment on the show, probably, if you asked her.
It was a classic moment, and it's not. You can't forget it. And I have to admit, she's right. I watched the little video clip the other day on your Kickstarter program. I'm thinking, you know what? He really kind of does look like a mascot.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anyway, welcome to the show. And you guys, I saw that episode on Shark Tank, and it was very exciting, especially for the barbecue world, for you guys to win that on Shark Tank. So give us kind of a rundown since then. What has happened with Pork Barrel Barbecue?
Yeah, well, that was in 2009 we were on the show. So it's been over 5 years that we originally aired. And since we aired on the show, we've expanded. When we actually filmed the show, our products were available in 3 stores locally in the D.C. area, butcher shops and a small grocery store. And today, by Memorial Day of this year, we'll be in over 8,000 locations in the United States, Europe, Canada. We're about ready to break into Asia. Our growth has been huge. We've gone from when we were on the show, we had one spice rub and one sauce. And since then, we've launched 3 additional sauces. We're going to be launching 2 new spice rubs this year. We just, as you mentioned earlier, launched a line of bacon jerky. We have competed all over the country in competition barbecue, winning lots of awards, cooking the most prestigious contests. Our last contest last year was the Jack Daniel's World Championship, which is kind of the holy grail in the barbecue world of competitions to be invited to cook in. And we usually do about 10 to 15 contests a year all over the country. We cook the American Royal every year in Kansas City, which is another one of the big ones. Have won a lot of recognition for our sauces. Men's Health Magazine named it the top barbecue sauce in America. Probably the most exciting accolade like that we received was Cooks Illustrated Magazine, which, you know, for foodies is kind of like the Wall Street Journal is for financial world. And they named us the supreme barbecue sauce in America. So we've had a lot of fun. We've gotten to do some crazy things. We rang the closing bell at the NASDAQ. We do a lot of charity stuff, so we've gotten to cook for a lot of interesting people. Being here in D.C., we, you know, frequently get an opportunity to cook for elected officials. Probably the most interesting delivery we ever made was out to Andrews Air Force Base for Vice President Biden's Air Force Two. We catered for that. So, yeah, it's been a crazy ride. It's been a hobby that somehow turned into something we thought maybe we could make a little money into, but then all of a sudden turned into a national brand that we're building. This year is going to be a big, big year for us. We filmed a new episode of Shark Tank, which will be airing sometime in April or May, towards the end of this season. We are about to make some really big announcements and some big national chain stores that our products will be in starting April, May of this year. So it's going to be a big year for Pork Barrel Barbecue.
Wow.
You'll have to come back after you make the announcement, right?
Yes, definitely.
Sure.
Congratulations.
Hey, we need to visit them. I mean, it looks like you have a restaurant in Alexandria, and that's, like, got to be about the same distance for both of us to drive up.
Yeah. I guess that was one thing I forgot to mention, what's happened to us. Yeah, we opened in 2011, our first restaurant. It's in Alexandria, Virginia. If you're familiar with the D.C. area, it's just a few minutes from the Pentagon, or a few hours if the traffic is like it is sometimes. But also have a burger joint and a sushi bar that we've opened up since the show as well, in that same area. The restaurant's been doing great, and it's a lot of fun. We've had a lot of great support from the local community, and we get a lot of folks that come in that have seen us on the show that are in D.C. for either business or vacation, so that's a lot of fun as well.
That is really cool. Now, so 6 years ago, 2009, this is when you went on Shark Tank, and what were you guys doing prior to that?
Brett and I are both lawyers by trade, and we were working on Capitol Hill in the United States Senate, and that's kind of how the whole concept came about. It was late during the Senate budget debate one night, and they were debating earmarks, better known by their slang term as pork barrel projects, pork barrel spending. And we were trying to decide what we were going to have for food. We'd been eating at this pizza joint for like three nights in a row. And the way the budget debate goes, these are like 12, 15, 16-hour days. And so you don't really get a lot of good food. And we were thinking, man, I really wish there was a good barbecue joint around here. And kind of as we were talking about that, they were talking about pork barrel projects on the Senate floor, and the two ideas kind of collided with each other. And we're like, you know, someday that'd be a pretty good idea to open Pork Barrel Barbecue here in D.C. And, you know, it's a fun play on the word. And in D.C.
Right. Well, it's amazing what's happened in the last 6 years, and congratulations. And we wanted to have you on because now you've got this new Kickstarter project that you started for the bacon jerky. And, the first question I have to ask you, and by the way, I have a link here. If people want to go check out the Kickstarter project, all you do is click the link, and it takes you right to the project for the bacon jerky. But you're only asking for $5,000. And, you know, I know I've tried to launch different products. $5,000, what is that going to get you? At what point? Is this for advertising, or what is the $5,000 going to be used for? Uh-oh, we lost him. Hold on a second, folks. We lost him. I think he's back. Hang on a second. You there?
I'm back. You guys there?
Yes. Did you hear my question?
You guys there?
Yes.
I didn't. Sorry.
he disappeared for a second. My question was, on your Kickstarter project, you're asking for $5,000, which you're almost at your goal when I looked this morning. But mm-hmm. what is that $5,000 going to be used for?
Yeah, so, you know, we're wanting to develop this new product, and it's very expensive to create a new product, you know, the test phase, getting the labels. Right now we have, if you notice from the photo, it's kind of a generic bag. It's just a plastic front with a foil back that we've got a sticker on. But one of the big things that we want to use this money for is helping us develop into a kind of a all-in-one bag where it's actually the things that are on the label now are actually printed on the bag, so you don't actually have a sticky label, which will allow us to have more information on the back, you know, a more professional appearance, more of something that you would see from, you know, what you would walk into your grocery store or convenience store now as far as a bag. So that's really a big thing that we'll be looking to do. And then also helping, you know, kind of get the first wave of production produced. We've, like I said, been working on this product for about a year now, and we've done some tests with it. We did an 8-store test with it last December just to kind of see how it would do, and it did really, really well. We took it to the Winter Fancy Food Show in San Francisco in January, where literally you have tens of thousands of food buyers from every corner of the globe there, and it was a real big hit. So we decided that, you know, this was a product that we thought could go up against the big guys. You know, we've already done this once in the barbecue sauce world, where we were fighting against the, you know, Sweet Baby Ray's, the KC Masterpieces, you know, the big dogs for shelf space, and we've been successful. Right. So we kind of have a formula, and now we're going to try it all again against some of the big jerky guys.
Cool. Now, I actually, I never heard of bacon jerky, and if you go to Walmart, which I do quite often, there's a whole front section of the store that has all kinds of jerky. I mean, you know, beef jerky, turkey jerky, every jerky you can think of, and I had never seen bacon jerky. You actually have a competitor out there who's making a bacon jerky right now, and actually I had never seen it till just this past week, but how difficult is it to make bacon jerky? Because I know you put it in a what do you call it, not a hydrator, but what do you call those things? Dehydrator, I guess? And then you turn it into a jerky product. Is it
difficult? Yeah, so, yeah, there are several people making jerky out there out of bacon. And, you know, it's a new thing, more recent than, you know, bacon jerky, turkey jerky, deer jerky, elk jerky, buffalo jerky, all that's been out there for years. We think we've come up with a cooking method that really protects the integrity of the bacon. You know, sometimes you get jerky and it's like you're chewing rubber. It's like, you know, when is this going to disappear from my mouth? You just keep chewing and chewing and chewing and chewing.
Right.
And it's real leathery. So we've created a jerky that isn't that. It has all the great aspects of bacon. You know, it has a little bit of the crispy. It has that, you know, kind of tender part of the bacon, you know, a little of the fat. And we wanted to, you know, kind of preserve the integrity of the slice of bacon without turning it into leather. And so, you know, we came up with a proprietary cooking method that we've been working on. It's, you know, slow. It's not in a dehydrator like, you know, you might make something at home. It's ovens, slowly cooked, so you don't, you know, you give that the fats, you know, an opportunity to survive instead of really intense heat where they just dry out and you get that kind of leathery texture that you get
right.
in so many jerkies. So we're, you know, we think that, you know, like I said, we've tested this in a retail setting. It did really well. We've taken it to the location where literally thousands and thousands of buyers are there. And it's been very, very well received. So we're excited to get it out there into the retail market and see how it does on a larger scale. Currently, we've got three flavors. We've got spicy sriracha, So if you're liking spicy foods, it's really good. We've got an old-fashioned maple. So if you're more of a sweet tooth, that's the one I would go with. And then we have a honey pepper, which is kind of just a standard, original type flavor of what you might get in bacon, with a little bit of sweetness and a little bit of spice from the pepper and the honey. And we're working on several other flavors, trying to incorporate our original and sweet barbecue sauces into two barbecue flavors. It's kind of fun, you know. Bacon is a great platform. You know, pork in general is a great platform to be able to integrate a lot of different flavor combinations, everything from spicy to sweet and, you know, savory. I think that there's a lot of fun flavors out there for us in the future that we can look at doing.
Well, it sounds exciting, and if people want to support the Kickstarter project, like I said earlier, you can click on the link that we have here. It takes you right to their Kickstarter project. They only got about $600 more they need to hit their goal, and it sounds very interesting. We're all about bacon here on Green Ideas. I mean, if we don't mention bacon on one of our shows, then something's wrong with us, so good luck with that, because I said earlier that bacon should be the miracle cure. If they find out a way to say that works, and it cures everything, that's what I'm waiting for. And I'll hang up my radio microphone when that day happens. But good luck with the project, and congratulations also on the success since you've been on Shark Tank with Pork Barrel Barbecue and all the things you've got going on there. And keep us posted when the new news comes out that you could do a big announcement. You're always welcome to come back on the show.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, I'm with you there. If we could make medicine taste like bacon, we could all probably retire pretty quickly.
Start working on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no. That might be our next thing. We might have to create like a bacon-flavored gel cap that you can put any kind of medicine in.
And you're right. Hey, yeah, and you're right there. You're right there in Washington with all the FDA and USDA guys. So go ahead and start working on that. Take some of that bacon flavor over there and make us some cough syrup that tastes like bacon.
Yeah, I'll head up to NIH next week and see if I can find a doctor to collaborate on this with us. So thanks for having me on. If you want to find out anything about Pork Barrel, our website is porkbarrelbbq.com. We're very active on Facebook and Twitter. You can search us under Pork Barrel BBQ again on those, also on Instagram. And if you really want to know the latest, you can sign up for our web on our webpage for our newsletter. And we also send out coupons for our online store periodically through that as well. And if you're out around the country at a barbecue contest and you see us, please stop by and say hi. And if you're in D.C., come check us out at the restaurant.
Cool.
I definitely
want to
come up.
We definitely check you out. Thanks for coming on, and keep us posted, and you have a nice Saturday, and happy Valentine's Day, by the way. Give your wife or your...
Thank you. Happy Valentine's.
Give her some bacon roses, okay?
She didn't marry me for my bacon. She married me for my burnt ends. I think she will tell you that. So maybe I'll make some bacon wrap burnt ends for her.
There you go. All right, take care.
All right, take care, guys. Bye.
All right, everybody, check out that Kickstarter project they've got here, and you can see the link and go help them out. Sounds like a cool project, and we are going to bring on our next guest here in a couple of seconds if I get everything working. He's in the wings, and this is our buddy from down under. You guys probably know him and seen him on Facebook, Andrew Thompson. We're going to be talking about food safety and wine and all the things that Brian loves to talk about. And Brian, are you ready? Because I'm turning over this interview to you here when we take this break.
It's not rocket science. It's just food safety. I'm always ready.
It's not rocket science. It's just food safety. Yeah, I like that. All right. I'm going to take a break here, and we'll play the Lonesome Heroes, Sunshine Come. There will be our musical guest joining us after we talk to the guy down under. Everyone, hang tight. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
And we're back, and that was our musical guest, the Lonesome Hero, be joining with us here shortly, the song Sunshine Come. But first we have our next guest from way down under in Australia, and this is a long-distance call for sure. And that's our buddy Andrew Thompson. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thanks, Grillion. Good to be with you.
Hey, Brother Andrew. How are you?
Very well. Thanks, Brian. Hi, Laurie.
Hello, Andrew, my very long-time Facebook friend. How are you?
Terrific. It's good to speak with you again.
Oh, same here. And I do want to say one thing about Andrew to everyone out there. He's been one of my longtime friends, like I said, on Facebook, and we always have fun chatting back and forth and hitting each other's likes. And I actually included Andrew in one of my children's books. So I have a nice little story and little poem about me and my friend Andrew.
He's speechless, Laurie. And actually, Andrew, there's also kangaroos and koala bears in the book with you. Can you believe it?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what's interesting is that I've always made it public that Laurie is the glue that holds the Facebook universe together. And
aww.
Andrew and I met through Laurie. And, you know, I've known Andrew probably from early on when I joined Facebook. So, yeah, we've been brothers through thick and thin on Facebook for a long time now.
See?
We have indeed. And through thick and thin on many things, Brian. All food,
yeah.
Wine, and others.
Exactly.
And you guys, hey, Brian, and you guys look alike, too.
Well,
they
that's
do.
A good thing. I already told you I'd rather not look like you. I mean, I'd rather resemble someone I admire than someone that just detests me.
Hey, Andrew, I'm going to let Brian talk to you since you guys are like the wine czars. He's the wine czar of the U.S. and you're the wine czar of Australia. And I'll let you guys chat away about wine and about food, your company, about food safety. So, Brian, knock yourself out, and I'm going to sit back and just enjoy it for a change and shut up.
You know what? You know why he's asked me to do this interview? Because he has no clue as to what hygiene means and food safety means. So he needs someone that actually understands hygiene. But we'll leave that for another conversation and another day. Anyway, actually, my first question to you is, so when you tell someone to drink responsibly, you're not talking about them being drunk.
No. No.
Are you?
Drinking responsibly. Well, that's something that I do, Brian, all the time. But we have in Australia responsible service of alcohol laws, which all licensed premises must follow. So it's something that I firmly believe in.
Yeah. Now, are there any specific safety laws, you know, as far as alcohol in Australia? Like as far as serving alcohol at a certain temperature or, you know, storage?
No, there's not. The only laws really applicable to the wine industry relates to the Australian New Zealand's Food Standards Code in terms of composition with additives, but also around labelling provisions.
Right. So I always like to ask people that sort of get into a specific, you know, line of work, what drove you to do this? You know, sometimes people have a personal experience and then they go on a crusade to, you know, want to right the world of, you know, of bad food safety. What drove you to want to be in this industry?
Yeah, good question. My career has been evolving, really, Brian. I've worked in the public health field for quite a number of years. I started off as a nurse, in fact, and then moved on to be what you would call as a public health inspector.
Mm-hmm.
And from being a public health inspector working in local government and in state government in Victoria, working for the Victorian Health Department and having an important role to play there, and I moved on to the education side of things, and I feel as though that there is still a great need to educate the broader food industry and indeed consumers alike on the importance of food safety, and
yeah.
So much so that I've produced a video clip for the consumer when they go looking for a restaurant to dine at.
Right,
I'm
sure that both of us can tell a lot of horror stories. Me being in the wine industry and being in enough restaurants and, you know, in the kitchens, and you, you know, formerly as a health inspector, people don't even realize how important it is to practice food safety. And I applaud your being able to be out there as an educator to inform not only the restaurants, but in some ways informing the public that, you know, there are safety regulations. We talk about it on the show often, you know, about using a thermometer and knowing the right temperature of your meat, but there are so many other safety regulations that need to be practiced in a restaurant in order to secure that people will not get sick.
Look, exactly. And people often say to me, food safety is common sense, but in fact it's a simple breakdown in procedures that often leads to a food safety incident. So it is important that we keep reminding people of the need to adhere to procedures, and food safety is not common sense. It's really about applying adherence to strict processes to ensure that the consumer gets safe and reliable food.
Yeah, now I noticed on your website that there are products that you sell, you know, informational products. Now, do you also go out yourself as a clinician individually to restaurants, or would you be more addressing like larger government to making them aware of certain regulations that they should then enforce?
Yeah, good question. I do both, Brian. In fact, I've been helping a friend this week who's just taken over a Sydney restaurant that was in a very poor state of cleanliness. And so I was providing him with advice on appropriate strategies to get the restaurant looking good. And some of the photos are on my company Facebook page. So I provide advice to industry, but equally I provide advice to government officials on gaps in legislation or policy or even in practice. And it keeps me busy.
Yeah, I would imagine. You know, I could just imagine how busy you were as a health inspector. Here in this country, of course, we do have health inspectors, and in some states, the health inspectors will award, like, you know, a gold star, or in New York, where I grew up, the health inspector would award you with a letter, you know, A, B, C, D, you know, and if you got the A, the restaurant was so proud to display that in their window, and
mm-hmm.
then if you had health violations, of course, they took away your, you know, your A. Every state does it differently. Here in Virginia, actually, the news channels will tell you about restaurants that have been cited with health violations, and you know, and then some that have gotten over their health issues and are back, you know, in good stead with the board, with the Department of Health. So I can just imagine how busy your life is trying to keep people informed on these very, very important issues that ultimately are going to keep us from, you know, from becoming sick. I don't know, Brilliant, do you have any questions you want to ask?
Well, I was going to actually mention, in case people don't see it here on the site, there's a website link that Andrew mentioned his company. It's called www.stsolutions.com.au, and you can find out more about what Andrew does there in Australia. Now, one question I did have, so do you do these things only in Australia, or do you also come to the U.S. and do evaluations in the U.S.?
I work in Australia. I also I'm commencing work in New Zealand. Happy to look at work in the U.S. as well, bearing in mind that the U.S. has different food laws, but being an old regulator, it doesn't take too long to get my head around the food laws. The principles are still the same. Having sound business practices in place and everyone's on the same page,
right,
ensuring that we provide safe food.
Go ahead.
Real quick question that I have to ask, because Laurie mentions this in her book. Do you actually eat those, what they call Vegemite sandwiches down there?
Oh, Vegemite, that's a staple food, Brilliant.
See?
I have it on toast.
What is it? Tell me exactly what is a Vegemite sandwich, because I've always heard it, and I've heard it in several songs. And so exactly what is that staple food in Australia?
Vegemite is a yeast extract. It's a thick or brown, blackish spread that you put on toast and enjoy for breakfast in the morning. It's a wonderful food.
Sounds delicious.
But only us Aussies tend to like it.
So I know I've always wondered. So it really is true. You guys do eat those quite often in Australia, right?
Oh yeah, we've. It's on every supermarket shelf in Australia, and most recently I sent a tube of Vegemite to a Facebook friend, Monica Morton, in Germany. And Monica's originally from Sydney in Australia, and she was feeling a bit homesick, so I sent her a tube of Vegemite, and it cheered her up no end.
Oh, that was have you ever had
Spam?
I've had Spam, yes. Must say it's, I prefer beef jerky.
Oh, okay, because I was going to send you a can of Spam if you've never had it, because that's kind of like a staple in the United States, Spam sandwiches. So.
Oh, we get Spam down here.
Okay, I'm just kidding. All right, now I got other questions, Brian, because I don't know anything, as you so gladly have said. I know nothing about hygiene and know nothing about food safety. So, you know, I have no other questions other than Vegemite sandwiches. That's all I got.
Okay, well, you know, just like you give me a shot when you're running the show, I have to give you a shot, you know. I would make a comment about safety regulations, and, you know, you asked the question about whether Andrew does any consulting here in the United States. Frankly, I think food safety regulations should be global, because foods cook the same way, and bacteria develops at a certain temperature and things the same way. So why shouldn't the food regulations be global? What's your feeling about that, Andrew?
that's a good, really good question, Brian. And in fact, Australian food law is based on American and UK food law. When I was involved in the policy side of things in the development of Australia's latest food laws back in the 90s, we looked over the best of the legislation at the time and picked out the eyes and have incorporated it into ours, as I said. And I think the principles are applicable across the board. Unfortunately, I think politics and other specific interests, local interests, will always get in the way of consistent, uniform laws across the globe.
Yeah, well, politics always sort of gets in the way, doesn't it?
It does.
And so do I, and so do my other guests. They're getting in the way, and they're stacking up behind us here. So, Andrew, thank you for joining us way down under, down there where the kangaroos and koalas play. And we appreciate
and
you
Vegemite
calling
sandwiches.
In. And your Vegemite sandwich. I got to try one of those. Can you send me one of those in the mail, Federal Express?
Sandwich, not the tube, just the sandwich.
Anyway,
that might violate a few safety laws.
Yeah, it might. Thank you, Andrew, for joining us, and have fun down under, and tell all the blokes down there we said hello.
Thanks, Andrew.
I certainly will,
brilliant.
Thank
you
very much for your time, and thank you, Laurie and Brian.
Oh,
all right,
wonderful talking to you again. Be
yeah.
well.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Check out his website here. It's thinkstsolutions.com.au. We're going to take a quick break and bring on our musical guests. They are calling in, and I cannot wait to talk to this guy about tofu barbecue. The Lonesome Heroes, and I think it's an appropriate song to play, Love is Contagious, on such a loving day, on Valentine's Day. This is the Love is Contagious, the Lonesome Heroes. We'll be right back after the song.
In your eyes, finally found a faraway smile. If we could just run away, then maybe things would be fine for a while. The time just goes by lately, feels like nothing changes. Caught the scent of your sweet, sweet breath. I think your love is contagious. No matter how far I try, I can't get lost in these places. Crack a bottle just to make it stop. I drive through the daylight just to see your smile. Turning in the fever night, I think your love is contagious. No matter how far I try, I can't get lost in these places. Crack a bottle just to make it stop. I drive to the state line just to see your smile. I think your love is contagious. Love is contagious. I think your love is contagious. I think your love is contagious. If I was a highway, I'd be 1,000 miles long. sorrow so twisted and tattered, 'cause I don't know where I'm bound. I'm concrete, I'm asphalt, now steel, but I summon up the rain with a single tear. And if I was a song, then I'd sing myself to you, but I'm only me, and this song's just passing through. I'm carbon, I'm water, not man, but I summon up a fire with a single song. But if I could fly like a bird, then I'd flap my wings on back to you. But I've been stuck here on this ground, so saying goodbye's all that I can do, all that I can do. Weigh 149 pounds. My blood's thick like soil, 'cause my feet stay on the ground. I'm distance, I'm earth, and I am rain. But saying goodbye's more than I could stand. What if I could fly like a bird? Then I'd flap my wings on back to you. Here on this ground, so say to you goodbye's all that I can do, all that I can do.
And that was the Lonesome Heroes, two songs. One was "The Love Is Contagious." The second one was
"Making You Keep Up the Key."
And everybody wanted to know why I played two songs, because I had a delivery by Federal Express and had to go run and get that. So here we are. Hey, Rich, are you there? Rich Russell.
Hello?
Rich, you
there? Am I there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you loud and clear. We
all
have
right.
Rich Russell from the Lonesome Heroes joining us this morning, and welcome to the show. Sorry we weren't able to hook up last week, but I wanted to have you on to actually a main reason. I want to talk to you. We'll talk about the band and the music for a second, but you and I got to talk about this tofu barbecue. You
okay.
I figured that would be a good
subject for your show.
Yeah, it's a perfect subject for our show. So you actually make a tofu barbecue?
Yeah, this year will be our fifth year. It started just as a casual barbecue at our house during South by Southwest in Austin. We had a bunch of bands over, and I thought, wait, let's barbecue some tofu, because it would be fun. And the thing is, in Texas, not everyone likes tofu.
Right.
So the idea was to get people to like. Most of the reason people don't like tofu is because they've never tried it or they've never cooked it right. So we decided to wrap it with bacon and barbecue it. And that way it would lure people into who think like eating tofu
okay,
is like
so
the grossest
that,
thing
that
in the world.
Oh, now, yeah. So
if you wrap it in bacon, then all of a sudden it's like, well, okay, I'll try it. And then they really like it.
Okay, so you're cheating a little bit. I was wondering how in the heck you were taking slices of slimy tofu and barbecue. And so, but, hey, anything with bacon tastes good. I mean, I could probably cook my shoe.
Yeah, we usually do five or six flavors, so the bacon wrap just pretty much, like, the hit. It's good because it converts the meat eaters to eating tofu. And
so
we don't,
tofu
we don't
doesn't have to be slimy.
We don't make the vegetarians eat the bacon. We make the non-vegetarians eat the tofu.
Oh, okay. So explain this to me. So you get tofu and you cut it into slices like steak? Is that how you do it? And then wrap it in bacon and throw it on the grill?
No, you just cut it into chunks and you marinate it. really easy. Marinate it overnight, and then you wrap it in bacon and stick a toothpick through it.
So what are you marinating?
Just throw it on the grill, and then as it cooks, the bacon shrinks and it like wraps around the tofu. I always describe it to people. It's like eating whale blubber, because then they like really are like really intrigued as to what that would mean. Because basically the tofu just takes on the taste of the bacon, so it's like eating a giant soft piece of bacon.
No kidding.
Ooh, sounds so good.
I gotta try this out, because I'm definitely gonna try it out, and I'm gonna report it on
Facebook. I'll send you my recipe.
Do that. Please email me the recipe, and
we got sponsored by White Mountain Foods. Do you know that company? They make the really nice Greek yogurt. It comes in a jar. It's all over America.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave us 100 pounds of tofu last year. So
well, believe
I think
it or
it's
not,
the biggest, the biggest tofu event in the state of Texas.
I don't think nobody's keeping track. White Mountain Foods has probably never heard of us, and I know why, because I don't eat the stuff. So,
I love yogurt.
I gotta try their
yogurt is like world famous.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
I learn something every day. All right. Okay, now let's go talk about band and music. All right. You were on our show, I believe, almost 3 years ago. I think it was 2.5, 3 years ago. And back then, The Lonesome Heroes was actually a duet. And then I was reading online that, matter of fact, when you were on last time, it was you and a lady, and you guys were, like, traveling all over the country, like, in a hippie bus or something. I don't remember. It was a trailer or something.
That sounds like what we were doing.
And now you're a, I guess, a quintet, right?
We were four people, but somehow last night there were eight people in the car, but luckily only four musicians. So it kind of is always changing, but we're mostly a four-piece, sometimes a five-piece, and now we're just a bunch of dudes playing rock and roll, driving around.
Well,
we got a nicer band.
Last week we talked about you a little bit, and your music to me kind of sounds like was it Herman Hermit?
Yeah, that's what we said last week.
I know that name, but I don't know their music, so. That's a little before my time.
Yeah, that was long before your time. But we realized interesting music. So what would you call yourself? Americana what?
I mean, I guess Americana is kind of the catch-all that gets anything that's not, like, just rock and roll. We call it cosmic American music.
Oh, there you go. I like that.
That's
kind of
perfect.
What Graham Parsons was doing, you know, it's like a mix of R&B and country and rock and blues. It's
You're in California or Texas? I'm still confused. So where you guys actually located?
We're in Petaluma. We played in Petaluma last night, and we're going to Trinidad, California tonight to play this Valentine's Day ball, and there's going to be like a million hippies there, so we'll probably be more of a jam band tonight and less of a country band.
So I was going to ask you, so you're following, is it the old hippies that kind of follow your music?
Yeah, we're actually, is it the old, I don't think there's enough old, I hope there's more than old hippies following our music, but we're actually staying at our radio host from Santa Rosa's house last night, and there's this great couple, and they're like, I don't know how old they are, probably about 70. And they have all these original Grateful Dead posters signed on their walls.
I was
going to
just say Deadhead people. You get all
Deadheads. But, I mean, we're not really generally, like, in the hippie scene, but we kind of fit between the cowboys and the hipsters and the hippies, somewhere between there.
I don't know.
Always hard to know exactly which.
I mean, when you were on before, you guys were definitely in the hippie crowd, I would say, and I guess it does kind of have a country sound to it too. But I just picture I picture people with cowboy hats and tie dye shirts on at your concert.
That's exactly right. That's where we do the best, is like in these weird like mountain towns where the cowboys are still hippies. You'd be surprised. A lot of those tough cowboys are actually a lot crazier than you'd think they are.
So you guys just launched this new, I guess they call them, well, see, now it's hippies, they call them albums. But you just launched the new CD, and I think it just came out at the end of January, right?
Yeah. It's like just out. We're selling it out of the back of the van right now.
Okay.
And it's actually just got on the internet, and a label just picked it up and put it out on vinyl. So,
oh, cool.
So that's kind of cool.
So it actually is on vinyl.
Yeah. This is our first release on vinyl. It's very expensive to print vinyl, so cool. That
Vinyl's the new old thing now.
I didn't know
that.
Yeah,
it's becoming trendy.
Very trendy. To me, I've always had vinyl, so it doesn't seem any different, but I'm old, so.
So now, what's the actual CD / album / vinyl, what's it called?
The new record's called Can't Stand Still. Lonesome Heroes
Can't
Stand
Still.
All right. And it's on Webbang Records.
Okay. And if people want to find it, they can go to your website, I assume, thelonesomeheroes.com.
Yeah, it would be really good if there was a link to buy the record on our website, but I neglected to do that before we left. So maybe I'll do that today.
There you go. I feel like people can find it,
you know.
Yeah, they'll find it. If they want it that bad, they'll find it. So this is really cool. So you guys are an old hipster. What do you call it in? Cosmic Americana music?
Yeah, Cosmic American. I guess that's like Dead We're Doing or Graham Parsons or stuff like that. Flying Burrito Brothers. Do you know them?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so now I gotta ask the obvious question. So are you a vegan?
No, I'm not. I eat everything. I've never, except for people, I won't eat a person.
Brilliant does that.
I was vegetarian. I grew up in Brooklyn, and then I went to college in Santa Cruz, California. And in a bet with my girlfriend, I started being vegetarian, and that lasted 5 years.
But you came back to the dark side, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. back to the light.
All right. The other question I have to ask you, do you want to share anything as to why the duet didn't work? That'd be interesting radio.
Well, you didn't say you're going to ask tough questions. I thought you said talk about tofu. I think, we drove around in a van with the two of us and a bunch of other people for about 8 years, 7 or 8 years.
Right.
We had a great time. I think it's a lot to try and run a band, a relationship, and be on the road that much. So I think we just kind of got tired of that. Landry, my ex, she also
right.
makes art, and she really wanted to work on that, and I wanted to keep doing this. So it was a very, like, amicable breakup. We're still very good friends.
No, that's good.
But it was also really hard because I had to figure out whether I wanted to or could keep doing it without her because she was very great.
Yeah, your music is a little bit different. I was actually listening to some of the older music that you sent us before, and it's kind of changed quite a bit. And I was just wondering how that whole breakup went. But she was more of an art person, and you were the singer. So now you're following your dream, and she's following hers, and I guess the rest is history.
It's definitely a little more up-tempo and stuff now.
So you guys planning any other new CDs after this one, or are you going to let this one take a ride for a while?
Hopefully this one will go gold and I can retire to the Caribbean. No, I don't know. Yes, definitely, but I don't even want to think about recording another one until I sell a lot.
No, it's actually very interesting music. I like the sound. And,
I love it.
I actually played the gambit of the three songs that I downloaded, but I really enjoy it, and people want to find it. Go to lonesomeheroes.com to find out about the band. Now, as far as buying the music, I don't know what to do in that case, but he is going to post a link later on.
I mean, we're on, like, iTunes.
Album.
If you Google us, you'll find us.
Brian,
we're
did
not
you have any questions?
Trying to hide.
No, I mean, I actually think you covered basically what I was going to ask, so I'm good, but thank you for asking.
No questions, come on.
I threw you the curveball about the breakup. I don't want to throw you any more tough ones, but no, I do want
to have
a
question though.
All
right, Larry's got
a question. Yay, Larry.
All right.
I usually keep silent at the end and let these guys fight it out, him and Brian. But no, didn't you win a contest though for that tofu?
No, we've never won a contest for the tofu, but we do have a tofu sponsor, which is pretty cool.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's that white.
We have
that
a tofu sponsor and a speaker sponsor. Not
oh,
really a tofu sponsor, but White Mountain Foods, they always want to put my recipes up on their website, but I've never actually sent my secret recipe to them. Maybe I'll
you
do
make
it.
Sure, you make sure you send it to me, and I will definitely try it out, and I will post it on Facebook. Because, I mean, for me to eat tofu, this is going to be very interesting. But when you said bacon, I thought, well, I can do this. So send me the recipe, and I'll definitely post it.
Okay. It's really good, and it's really easy. I
all
can't
right,
even tell you how many
Rich.
People I converted to eating tofu in Austin,
I'm
Texas.
Well, you might have a new one. I'm looking forward to it. Everyone check out Rich Russell and the Lonesome Heroes at lonesomeheroes.com. And thank you for sharing your music. And thank you for sharing your barbecue tofu recipe. And thank you
for
sharing
well,
about
for
the story
record.
Of your breakup. You're welcome.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, I'm still having a good time.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. I know how to destroy people on the radio. I don't I? I always ask the wrong questions. Anyway, you guys got anything else to add? We got 5 minutes. Laurie, do you want to say anything? Because I'm out of material.
Well, I
should
actually
I sing, should I sing a Herman Sherman song? When he said he didn't know what I'm thinking.
Sing it to your favorite hermit.
Yeah, what is
Henry
VIII, right?
Henry VIII, I am. I got married to the widow next door. She's been married 7 times before, and everyone was Henry.
There she goes.
Hey,
all
actually,
right,
you asked about where they can, you know, he said something about putting up a link, but I just clicked on, if you go down their website and you find the picture of the album, there's a little link that says SoundCloud, and it looks like you can buy all the songs individually either through Apple Store or Google Play. So actually there is something on his website that will link you to a way to buy, I don't know if it's individually or, you know, or you can buy the whole thing. I haven't gone any further than that, but I did find that.
All right. Well, thank you, sir, for information. And I can't believe that Laurie actually sang on air. That was pretty cool, Laurie.
Hey, it's always a first. There's always a first.
I know.
Ideas
I could sing. I would make like a great contest person. Like when they play like a little like, dit. I could sing the song like that if it was in the 50s and 60s and 70s. I could do it.
I
you know,
kind of
we trend so
have,
much on
that.
This show that it you know. There's never a week where something isn't a first for us.
Yes. By the way, I have to admit, I knew Laurie could sing because she's got her own song that she's coming out with her book.
I
want to talk about your
my little
book?
Jingle.
Yeah,
yes,
jingle.
That's what's holding it up. I thought I'd be out before the new year, but I've got a little jingle, a little my read along CDs, and it takes time. I think you got to get labels and. You know, printing little words, what you want to say on the little CD. I mean, there's so many things involved, so it just takes time, and that's okay. When
she's
it's meant to
there.
Be, it's getting there, absolutely.
She's got
probably for the holidays.
She got six children's books, and they're all myhappybooks.com. And as soon as the jingle is done and the CDs are printed and inserted in the books.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be ready to go. So it should be anytime soon, we hope. And it's taking a little longer than expected, but it's getting there. But if you want to see what's coming, go to myhappybooks.com and you can see what she's been working on. And we're almost out of time. I want to mention that, not tomorrow night, Tuesday night, John Dilley will be having his show called Deaf Conversations. And if you have not heard
John Dilley on the radio. You really need to check it out. It's at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on greatideasradio.com. He has a fantastic show. It's about small business. It's about the hot sauce world. He is a natural, much more natural than we are on the radio. He's a perfect host, and he always has great guests. And then Wednesday morning, don't forget to listen to The Untamed Chef, and that's at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. out there on the West Coast. And Linky will be coming back with her show on Sundays in a couple of weeks, and getting that all lined up. And we're talking about ourselves doing a Sunday night show so we can drink wine and loosen up a little bit. So we might be starting our Sunday night show here soon, sometime in March. So anyway, we're almost out of time. Thank you for joining us.
Now, wait
in.
A second. Wait a second.
What?
Wait a second. Hang on
what?
A minute. What makes
what?
You think that we're not drinking wine now?
Well, we're not supposed to tell.
I mean,
anyway.
Look. Let's be honest with our radio audience. You know, we don't want to fool these people. You know, I'll admit it. I drink wine.
I don't. Not the morning.
No, not at this.
Well,
really like this
because
coffee.
You can't
like
handle it.
Thanks for. Hey, by
anyway,
the way,
guys,
Brian,
happy Valentine's
thanks.
Day.
Hey,
have a great
Valentine's
day.
And thanks for ruining my whole ending of the show. Now I'm all screwed up and I can't play my music. But yeah, happy Valentine's Day, Brian.
That's what I'm here for, to screw up your day.
Anyway, thank you everyone for joining us. Have a nice weekend. Enjoy your Valentine. Go out and eat some chocolate. Have some fun. And I'm trying to put the music. Just let me do this. Oh, you want to sing again, Laurie?
My sunny Valentine.
I was kidding.
Sweet comics, Valentine.
All right, everybody. Here's little Todd Harry. Laurie, this is for you. Things a man needs to say. Happy Valentine's, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Cheers. Happy Valentine's.
Cheers.
These are all things that a man